with that, if you have your Bible with you, turn to please the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Chapter 28. Some people think, Pastor, are you talking in tongues when you say Matthew 28, 19? Maybe I am. So, hang in there on that. All right, 4x4, part 3. If you're joining us online this evening, we want to welcome you as well as you consider being right here in the sanctuary with us. Experience with God is good. Rock Savvy, that's good. Let me give you another update on something that's happening here in Rock Savvy. Sunday morning, we will have a Gideon here, a short presentation during our Sunday morning worship service. So please, prayerfully consider being a part supporting that wonderful, wonderful ministry. So I'll start praying for them and praying for what God will have us to do with the Gideon. All right, so 4x4, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. The Bible tells us, we're going to start with 16, Mark. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And I want to stop for just a second and remind you that a lot of times we doubt. We can worship and doubt, and that can happen. And some of you are going like this because you've been there with me and you've been there part of that. Not doubting who Jesus is, not doubting that he's God, not doubting God's heavenly prayers and that God can do anything, but doubting that God is using you or God is speaking through you. And so that's where we're looking at these 11 here. Remember, there's 11 disciples because Judas is no longer with them. And so some are doubting. They're not doubting that Jesus is resurrected, not doubting that he's God. They are doubting that God can use them. And Jesus is going to remind them rather forcefully that I am with you and I have done these things so you can do anything through me. So let's begin verse 16 again. The 11 disciples went away in the Galilee to the mountain which Jesus appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Let's go to the Lord and pray quickly. Now, Father God, once again, thank you for your word. Speak to us. Open our hearts to hear from you, Lord God. And I know, Lord God, this is a powerful message. So I pray, Lord, you speak to us. Speak to me, Lord God. Do a work in us, my Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've got four R's in that passage. So this is the third night to look with me, a third time to look with me through this passage, so you've already read about all authority. So I want to ask you again, church, how much authority did Jesus have? He has all authority. He has authority over everything. He has authority over you. He has authority over the nations. He has authority over the situations in your life. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. And he sent us to our nation. And remember, he has all authority, so you can go to any nation, even Muslim nations, even Hindu nations, even Sikh nations, even satanic people, because Jesus has all authority. And tonight we're going to look at, teach all things that I have commanded you, for lo, I am with you always. Those are the four alls over there. All authority, all nations, all things, and with you always. So if you'll remember, Sunday morning, we began the series by looking at the fact that Jesus has all authority. And I'm not going to reiterate that, though that was my favorite message so far into this series. We illustrated this fact by showing how Jesus places the problem under his feet because he has all authority. And because of that authority, he is standing on top of it as victor. Sunday evening, we continued the series by looking at all nations. And we illustrated this fact by showing how God is sending us to all people, even people we don't like, even people that have hurt us, even people that have offended us, because he has all authority. And regardless of the background of history, Jesus has the authority on them. So tonight we'll continue the series by looking at teaching all things that he commanded us. Now I'm going to go through this kind of fast because I've only got about 24, 25 minutes left. We're going to illustrate this by looking at some biblical examples of Jesus' teaching. Remember, he is commanded us to teach all things. Now, I don't know about you, but I can honestly say that there's no way in 25 minutes we can exhaustively go over everything taught by Jesus. Amen? There is absolutely positively no way. So we're going to sum up this teaching into just a few thoughts here. And so let's take a look at that, right? Can we put all Jesus' commands into just this statement? Look at me in John 13, verses 31 to 35. And this is, just to give you the background, Jesus has just washed his disciples' feet. Remember, he took a towel, he girded himself, got down on his hands and knees, and he's washing their feet. And we just learned about Jesus putting all the problems under his feet. And now he's here at the disciples' feet. The author of the book of Hebrews reminds us in chapter 10, verses 26 to 31, that we should not tread underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. We would put it on our feet and count it as something unholy, something unworthy, like we step on it with our feet. Now, here's Jesus at our feet, if you will, and at the disciples' feet, washing them. So, look with me in verse 31. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him immediately." I love Jesus. And just to go out on a very quick rabbit trail, the Bible tells us that when people go to arrest Jesus, when the Pharisees send the troops out, the police out, and the Sadducees go out to try to arrest Jesus, they always return empty-handed, saying, "Never a man spake like this. Never a man taught like this." And they would look at these troops in disbelief. And finally, they got to hear Jesus speak themselves. And so I want to ask you that question. Why was Jesus like that? They would get there and say, "Never a man spake like this." Well, let me remind you, never a man lived like that. Amen? Let me tell you how Jesus lived. Everything that came out of his mouth was, "It's not me to do it to work, but my Father. I'm here to glorify my Father. My Father is the one who teaches. I'm here to teach what my Father teaches. He is here to do the will of his Father." And right here in John 13, we see that again. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. And here we go into verse 33. "Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. Ye will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And remember, tonight we're looking at all things that Jesus has taught us. And he said, "You go and teach them all things that I've commanded you." And I want to challenge you tonight, church. I want to challenge you, individual believer. I want to challenge you online, that if we will just start teaching people how to love like Jesus did, we'll be meeting that command. We'll be meeting it the way he wants us to be. Here's what Jesus said: love one another. It's a new commandment. It's a new commandment. Now, we've heard it like this before. We've heard it from Leviticus 19:18. Love your neighbor as yourself. We've heard it from Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your strength, your soul. We've heard that before, but we've never heard it like this. Love like Jesus. We've never heard it this way. I give you a new commandment. Love ye one another. Teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So teach them, Christian, how to love. And that's the hardest thing for us to learn. It's easy to learn how to be religious. Go like this. That means amen in a Baptist church. It is easy how to learn to be ritualistic. It is easy how to learn how to do church. It's easy how to learn how to preach a sermon. You want to know how to preach a sermon? Be homiletical. Be hermeneutical. Be philosophical. Be crazy of God. You've got a sermon. That's easy. But it is hard, hard, hard to learn how to love. Why is it? Against our nature. We have a different nature. See, I believe our original nature was that we love one another. Adam and Eve loved one another. Still sin comes. That's right. I want you to look at the children, Cain and Abel. Love one another. Where did they learn that from? Love one another. Let's continue on here. Check this out. We want to teach all things that he's taught us, and I think the best place to start that is teaching him how to love. Listen to what Jesus says here in John 15. Look at me in verses 9 to 17. "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." Stay there. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. So you want to start teaching all things that he's taught us, and start by loving and teaching people how to love. You have a problem loving the unlovable? You have a problem loving the one who's offended you? You have a problem loving one who's different from you? And you got to learn what Jesus is holding. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I've commanded you. You know the scripture. This is not a new teaching for you, but I want to remind you that Jesus has told us that we are to teach all things that he's commanded us, and we need to start by teaching love. Love. No longer I call you servant, says Jesus. For a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I may know to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I commanded you, that ye love one another. Teach them how to love. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Back in our children's church right now, I guarantee you our children's church directors are teaching our children how to share. Oh, yes, I need amen in the Baptist church. How to have fairness in the games they're playing. How to be tolerant of those that are different. And in short, they're teaching them how to love. Notice that Jesus started out in John 13. He's children. I want to teach you like little children how to love. So here's Jesus explaining the greatest commandment. Now, I want to remind you, Jesus actually tells us what the greatest commandment in the Bible is. And remember, we need to keep all things. And so if Jesus says this is the greatest commandment of all, then we need to pay attention to that. Look with me again here in Matthew 22. We've already kind of hit upon that here. Then one of them, a lawyer, this is verse 35 here, then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." And then Jesus does something different. He doesn't add to it. He makes something exactly the same. He elevates the commandment that we have forgotten, that the church has forgotten, that we as individual Christians have forgotten, and that we need to put back into our lives. Look at me here in verse 39. The second is like it. In other words, it's exactly the same. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love. Teach them how to love. Now, when we went through all those speeches about love, I want you to know that every single one of them that mentioned love, use that word right there in Greek. Agapao. Say it with me. Agapao. That was agapao. Notice that we have a big equal there. Because love means something. It means equal. Okay. Your love equals forgiveness. So I want to share with you my thoughts on that. Quickly now. 1 Peter 4:7-8. And if anybody had to learn a lesson about forgiveness, it was textbook. Why do we know this? Because Peter's the one, he picked up a sword and cut not the severe off, didn't he? He denied Jesus 3 times, didn't he? Peter, I love the Apostle Peter. I love that he's real. I love that he's human. I love that he has the same emotions we have. He was religious. He was ritualistic. He was serious about his conversion. He was serious about serving Jesus Christ. But he had a hard time. Look with me in 1 Peter 4:7-8. But the end of all things is at hand. This is Peter telling us. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. When was the last time Pastor told you that? Start getting serious in your prayer time. Prayer shouldn't always be, give me, Lord. It should be. Help me, help me, help me. And then use me, use me, use me. Get serious. Watchful in your prayers. Look at me in verse 8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will, help me out, cover a multitude of sins. Teach them how to love. If we're going to move in our third part of our series tonight on 4x4, teaching them all things, what turn around command you, start teaching them how to love. Now, let me tell you a little bit of difference about love. When we look at love, we like to think of love as acceptance. Love doesn't have to accept sin. Somebody say amen. Well, oftentimes we like to think that, though. We like to argue with that. No, love accepts them who they are. No, no. Real love causes you to change. You know, if you really love somebody to the point where you're giving your life for them, they will change. It's amazing what happens there. Have you heard the story? I know you have. About the missionaries who went to Ireland, and of course, they got there and preached to those who never heard the gospel, and they stood there and were martyred. It was the act of being martyred that brought them to Jesus Christ. Perhaps you've heard of this particular preacher, David Whitfield. Wrote the book, The Cross and the Switchblade. Amazing man of God. Somebody whom I admire greatly. David Wilkerson gave his ministry, gave his life to work with the team in the game for New York City. David Wilkerson. When he got there, they treated him like a wild bubblegum on the bottom of the ocean. They treated him like he was trash. And in the end, he gave his life. The last part of the story is one of the gang leaders pulled the switchblade upon David Wilkerson. Reverend Wilkerson stated, if you do, every piece you cut me into is still love. That young man became a Christian. And that young man went to San Antonio and started a ministry that we know today. Love them! Teach them how to love. Peter said, love covers a multitude of sins. Listen to what John said when we get into 1 John here. He said there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Are you afraid? What are you afraid of? Quit being afraid. Real love casts out all fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Teach them how to love, and not just love, but love one another. Love Christians, love the church, love God's people, love God's work. Teach them how to love. We're just talking about love and forgiving. Peter told us that. He said, love covers the multitude of sin. It overlooks, it forgives. Real love forgives. Real love doesn't hold grudges. Did you know that? The Apostle Paul tells us about that in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, love is not boastful, love is not jealous, love is kind, and good, etc. Real love believes all things, bears all things, endures all things. There's nothing that can make me stop loving you. Teach me how to love. Love is forgiving. Let's look what Jesus said, because that's what we're really looking at tonight. Well, Jesus said, teach them whatsoever things I have taught you. Here's some of the things that Jesus taught. We want to bring out verse by verse and say, oh, Jesus, you told us this, you told us this, you told us this, you told us that, you told us that, you told us that. But I want to look at what Jesus did, and let's mimic and do what he did. Look at me in Matthew 18, 21:22. Then Peter came to him. Notice it's Peter again. Go like this. Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? What brother is he talking about? Andrew. No, we don't know which one he's talking about. But we do know the one in the Bible that's named Andrew. Because my brother sinned against me. I wonder if they had a little fight that day. What if Andrew said, you still owe me $5, pal, I'm not forgetting. Pull me up to that. Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him up to 7 times. This is what Jesus said. I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70. I know you want to do math. I know you want to that that said that means we have limitless forgiveness. Amen. That's exactly what it means. And we want to build our sermon on that, on how many times we should forgive. But I want you to know what Jesus is really meaning. Love him anyway. Love him even though he sinned, not just against God, not just against the church, but against you. Love him. Because Christians are going to hurt you. Christians are going to betray you. Christians are going to let you down. Love them anyway. And here's Peter saying, my brother sinned against me. How many times should I forgive him? And Jesus says, forgive him 70 times. My brother. Let me ask you a question. Who is your brother in the church? Anybody who's a Christian. Amen? Who's your sister in the church? Any woman who's a Christian. In Jesus Christ, my wife is my sister. Nature means that there's things that you may do that I don't like. There's things that I will do that you don't like. Fellow sheep. What happens when the sheep start biting you? It's always a surprise when sheep bite you. You really don't expect that. When you stick your fingers in the cage to pet the sheep, the last thing you think is sheep jump. Last thing you expect. But they do. That's a pastor. We always knew. The pastor, I've always told. Something's going to come from outside God. They're going to show up at this church. They're going to say, I'm here to tell you that we should be worshiping on Saturday and not Sunday. You guys are sinners. I am here to tell you right now, you need to be Jewish instead of Christian because you're sinners. And we knew the punches would come from outside. It's very seldom that they tell you these punches would come from outside. And Jesus told us, teach them all things that I have taught you. And he has taught us how to love. He's on the punches from the inside. In Christianity, we always knew that punches would come, but most of us never thought it would come from inside. We always think it comes from outside. Look at me here. The Apostle Paul was no exception. Absolutely no exception to this. He, too, like the rest of us, always expecting the outsiders, the atheists, the non-believers to beat us up. But it isn't. Look at me in 2 Timothy verse 4, 9, 16. What does he talk about? Be diligent to come to me quickly. He's writing to Timothy. Timothy, that young man he could trust. Timothy, that young man he led to the Lord. Timothy, that one person he could confide in. Be diligent to come to me, Timmy. The demons have forsaken me, and the love has present woman, and the departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. I'm all alone. There is no one else here. Only Luke is with him. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus, I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left you covered. I throw off when you come the books, and especially those parchments. And boy, I remember years ago at Brookside Baptist Church, there was a sermon on bring me the how many of those parchments were the book of Philippians, the book of Ephesians, the book of Colossians that the Apostle Paul wrote? And he knew as he sat down and read them, this wasn't me, this was the Holy Spirit speaking to me, and how we need to be encouraged about reading God's Word. Because Paul here himself is bringing me my parchments, especially the parchments. Look at me in verse 14. Alexander the Comforter gave me what he called. May the Lord repay him according to his word. Greatly resisted all women. This guy's been in my Bible study. This guy's been in my prayer meeting. This guy's been in my family. My first offense, no one stood with me all. May it not be charged against you. Come talk to the leader of the world. Why don't you take this? That's what this does. You know what? We're going to kick you out. Yeah, we want to kick you out of baptism. That's what we usually do when we look into Matthew 28:19. Yes, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But you think that's the plan. Teach them how to pray. Teach them how to pray. Teach them how to heal. Teach them how to step in the inside. See, I know the inside person is so much. I've talked to three different churches. We've experienced such a thing. I know you want to put your hands over to my son. That's it. Jesus said, you know what? What did the first thing? Jesus said to him, no one had to put his hands in the plow looking back. But the kingdom of God, you put your hands up. You keep them on the plow. I know you want to put your hands up. It's our third sermon. Jesus, on 4x4. We look at Jesus and say, there's nothing we can't handle. We look to Jesus to send us to all nations. There's nowhere we can't go. Now we look at all these creatures. You can love the lovable. You can forgive those. You never thought you could forgive. I know. You know how? Your hands are the plow. Don't forgive. Look at me again in 9:62. No one had to put his hands on the plow looking back. Keep your hands on the plow. Keep your hands on the plow. I'm going to close with a word of prayer. We all going to have a very short invitation this evening. He has spoken to you. I want to ask you, humble yourself. If you come before Christ, if your Lord teach me to love, then I'll make teach others to love. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you now, Jesus. Lord God, I want to thank you for these, your people, these, your sheep, these, Lord God, of your church. And I pray, Lord, you speak to us right now through the name of the Lord. Just forgotten how to love. Lord God, you've taken your hand on us. Wow. You let them know, Lord God, you can forgive. Same time, Lord, that he needs to forgive. Let them come back to you. But Lord, perhaps there's one who has forgiven. They just don't love you. Yeah. I pray, Lord God, right now, that we feel your word. Love thee, one another. That's God's love for you. And I pray you take time and glorify. Lord, if there be all of us here tonight, we do love and truth in your spirit. And I pray, Lord God, you increase our love. Let our love shine from this church to the world, Lord, for you told us. That's how all the world will know where your disciples are, how we love one another. Let us love one another tonight. It's in Jesus' great and mighty name. 2, we continue and finish our series of 4x4 by looking at I'm with you all the way. Amen. I'm excited about that message to come and be a part of that. We'll pick up with a brand new message on Sunday night called Brass Shields. I wrote it today about welcome to revival. Praise God. So come and be a part of that Sunday evening. All right, let's close in a word of prayer, and I'll see you guys Sunday when I see you for today. Thank you for tonight, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit, Lord. Thank you for each and every person in the spirit, Lord. And I pray that we would depart your house tonight, Lord. Teach you all things, Lord, especially how to love. And I pray, Lord God, you remind us if we have any doubt how much you loved us. So God, we look at word and give one of the gospels. And God demonstrated his love toward us while we were yet sinning. God died for us. And I pray, Lord, that we would remember that. We would love each other. We would love those around us, Lord God. We would love them enough to share the gospel with them. And so, Lord God, tonight, a young couple is Christ for them. Miss Fiona, she went into a Petco store, Lord, and you know what she saw. You know how she was touched in her spirit. So I pray you would use Fiona, Lord. Teach the reach those at Petco, Lord, for you. Help us to love them, Lord God, and to be able to share the gospel message with them. We love you, Lord. And help us, Lord God, teach that it's wrong and teach the same time that there's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Bless us as we depart your house this evening, Lord. Pray to take it back again to worship you on Sunday morning, Lord, and may your name be glorified. Bless our Gideons and our brother Gideon, Brother Jordan, who we bring in that message to us, Lord. We are so excited about it. We also have another special prayer request this evening, Lord, that you protect each and every child who will be exposed to that rainbow pride that's coming up here. Remind us all what the rainbow really stands for, Lord. You brought it over the earth, Lord, the sign of a covenant, Lord, and I pray that we would have the courage to take your rainbow back. We will keep all things and give you the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great evening. Shalom.